Welcome to season one of Why Play Anywhere Else, a Sticks baseball podcast powered by JKR Baseball. We are the podcast by the players, for the players. My name is Jay Shrigling, and I'll be your host. With that being said, Arkansas Sticks president, Coach Chase Brewster, is always on the lookout to enhance the opportunities for all of his players across the country and enhance his program in general. We believe this podcast is another aspect to that goal. Be ready for some in-depth conversation and some genuine content here on the Why Play Anywhere Else podcast. Let's dig into today's episode after a word from our sponsor. Episode sponsor is JKR Baseball. After starting as the JKR podcast less than 2 years ago, 2023 will be a year of expansion. That expansion not only includes this podcast, but the potential for an entire baseball podcast network. Other features and services include event management, collegiate baseball player branding, NIL advisement, and a new blog starting this spring. With this expansion, we are now on the lookout for future young talent with similar mindsets. Are you a college or even a high school student that wants to work in baseball? JKR Baseball might be the place for you to get your foot in the door. If this sounds like something you may be interested in, contact me, Jay Shrigling, at 260-585-4388. But with that being said, let's dig into today's episode. And welcome back to Why Play Anywhere Else, the Sticks baseball podcast powered by JKR Baseball. We're the podcast for the players, by the players. Special guests today include 2025 Arkansas commit Jason Delamar, 2025 right-handed pitcher Worth McMillan, and 2024 catcher and right-handed pitcher Peyton Kaufman. With that being said, you know, pumped to get all three of you guys here on the Why Play Anywhere Else podcast. How are you guys doing today?
I'm doing good.
Awesome. Real good.
Awesome, guys. So before we get started digging into your guys' baseball careers, I got one question I'd like to start it off with everybody to get on the podcast, and that is, for those who don't know you, how would you guys introduce yourself? Who exactly is Jason Delamar? Who exactly is Peyton Kaufman? Who exactly is Worth McMillan? Let's go ahead and start with that order, and we'll get rolling with it.
I would say, personally, as a person, I'm rambunctious all over the place, a wild character, but on the baseball field and or any field, I'm locked in at a different person.
Yeah, I think same goes for me. My personality ranges, but in the classroom and on the field, I'm more serious guy, trying to get this stuff done. But outside, hanging with my friends, like the boys, it's just having a good time.
Yeah, like Peyton said, you know, when we're having fun with friends, we just like to have a good time. In school, you know, you have to have good grades to make it far. So I'm really focused in there. And then on the field, you know, I'm really competitive in everything I do.
Okay, so with this being the Arkansas Sticks podcast, let's kind of dig into how all three of you guys kind of got connected, you know, with Coach Brewster and the Arkansas Sticks. Kind of take us through that journey of your travel baseball career and how you guys got connected with the Arkansas Sticks.
Growing up playing baseball in Arkansas, I'd always seen the Sticks and played against the Sticks and thought they were the best and always wanted to be a Stick. So 13U or 14U summer, I think I played in front of somebody and Brewster saw it and he reached out to me. And that's just really where it started to be a Stick right there.
Yeah, going off that, I think I played against a Sticks team. It was when I was 14. We lost pretty bad, and I was like, wow, this team's pretty good. And I had my dad after that summer check in with them, and that's how I kind of got in contact with Coach Brewster and the Sticks.
Yeah, growing up, we were kind of a part of the Southern Athletics organization, and then they partnered with Sticks, and my mom was kind of friends with Chase, and so she knew of Sticks, and as I started getting of age
and getting on social media and everything, we really learned like who they were as an organization and everything, and we just decided to join in.
Okay. So with you guys, from the sounds of it, being part of this Arkansas Sticks program for a couple of years, you know, what are some of those relationships you guys have built, you know, maybe with Coach Brewster, but even some of the other coaches on that Arkansas Sticks coaching staff? Just what are some of those relationships you've been able to build so far?
Most all the coaches that I've met through Sticks, they've all been friendly, and I've never had a bad experience. The main way I really meet all the coaches is through Sticks Day and just big tournaments, seeing all the teams, everybody being together, being friends, and being Sticks together.
Yeah, like Jason said, Sticks Day was a big part of it, getting to know all the coaches, not ones that you know very well. But luckily for me, I live right outside of Russellville, Arkansas. So Coach Ham and Coach Abreu are readily available, just a text away. And that's really useful. And I built a pretty good relationship with both of those two.
So I got to know Coach Truby over the summer, as I was on his team but wasn't able to play because of elbow surgery. And then I really got to know Chase, Coach Brewster, at the Sticks Day, and he kind of just walked me along like what was going to be happening this summer and everything, and then we've kind of kept in touch since as the high school season has progressed.
Okay. So as all three of you guys, you know, look back into your travel baseball career so far, I know, Peyton, you're heading into your last summer, so I'm sure you played a lot of baseball. But, you know, for all three of you guys, as you guys look back into the back couple past, as you guys look back for the past couple of years, what are some of those just favorite memories that come to mind when you think of travel baseball, whether that's playing for the Sticks, maybe playing for a different program as well? Just what are some of those favorite memories that come to mind?
I would say last year at the World Wood Bat, my team, we were all a bunch of goofballs, and we got a good relationship early, had good chemistry. So the World Wood Bat, we played pretty deep into it, and we played probably one of the better high organization teams, and we got absolutely blasted in the game. But we had a good time playing, and it was just – it was good game, good energy. I loved it. We weren't mad we were losing.
Yeah, you know, just having fun with the boys, you know, building that chemistry. It's all about a brotherhood, you know, like nine dudes on the field, whether you know them or whether you don't. By the end of the summer, you feel like they're your brothers. Like, that's what it feels like to me.
Yeah, you know, going into the first tournament and everything last summer, you know, we didn't know anybody on the team. So just getting to know everybody, having those conversations in the dugout, on the field, off the field, in the hotel, just hanging out with everybody. That's got to be my favorite part of it all.
Okay. So with you guys being, you know, one of you guys class of 2024, two of you guys being class of 2025, you guys just got, you know, a couple more summers left to play travel baseball. What are you guys looking forward to most for these upcoming summers? And Peyton, obviously for you, with this being your last summer of travel baseball as well.
This summer I'm looking forward to the competition, because I know just last summer a lot of people saw Sticks, and I know we're going to get a lot better and more people are going to play for us and not play for anybody else, and I'm just ready for the domination that's coming.
Yeah, just looking to get better every single day, whether that's practicing with the boys, practicing with the team, practicing by myself, doing everything I can do to get better.
So I wasn't able to play last year because I had a fracture in my olecranon, so I had to get two screws put in. And this season, you know, I'm really just looking forward to getting to show what I could do. Just getting to play against some good competition, and really just going out there to win, having a good time.
Okay, so were you able to play in high school ball last year, or were you still injured for that as well?
Yes, I was able to play in high school ball last year. I had my surgery in late May of 2022. So we had just wrapped up the season and something was feeling wrong. So we got it looked at and they scheduled a surgery 2 weeks after that.
Okay. So with that, let's kind of go ahead and transition to high school ball. Let's flip that order around. Let's go from Worth to Peyton, to Jason here. Kind of take us through, you know, your guys' previous high school seasons, and as this, you know, 2023 spring, still pretty young, what's this season kind of looking like so far?
So far, you know, at Texas High, we have a fairly young team this year, losing, I think, 7 seniors last year. So everybody in our district ranked us to be, like, second to last, third to last, not making playoffs. But we've really come a long ways as a young group. And I think, you know, we're playing good. We're pitching good. We're fielding good. We're hitting good. I think if we just keep doing what we're doing, then we'll make playoffs and make it far, you know.
Yeah, you know, like Worth said, we're a really young team. A lot of our talent is the younger guys. We graduated, I think, 7 or 8 seniors last year. So very senior heavy last year. Kind of like he said, again, people predict us to be last, second to last in the conference, not make a run in the state playoffs. But things haven't been going our way recently because we played some really tough competition, but I think we're starting to turn it around, and I think we're going in the right direction.
Last year, we didn't have as many seniors that played for us, and we had a lot of juniors and then the 3 freshmen. And so this year, our seniors, there's a lot of them there. They're all ready to go. We're looking good for the season. Just ready to play ball with the guys, really.
Okay. So with where you guys are at, I know Worth here in Texas, Peyton and Jason, both in Arkansas, you know, both great baseball states. With where you guys are at, you know, in your guys' regions, what does that competition level look like throughout the spring? So maybe some Power 5 commits you guys are playing, maybe some teams you guys got circled on that calendar. What does that competition level look like in your guys' areas?
Well, non-district, we played North Lamar. They have a left-handed pitcher who's up to mid to high 90s, I think. He was sitting 92 against us. But, you know, he just wasn't throwing many strikes, so he wasn't too tough against us. We also have 2 really tough teams in our district, Hallsville and White House. We play White House this upcoming Friday. We just lost to Hallsville last Tuesday, 9-2. And, you know, they've got some guys. Hallsville's got a guy who I think he's a TCU commit or a Houston commit, something like that. And he's like 92, 93 on the mound as a righty. And then White House has got a couple guys that I know of, but I can't seem to think of them right now.
Yeah, definitely. We played some pretty good teams. We face Jackson Estes pitched against us from North Little Rock, and he was low 90s against us. We faced Aiden from Cabot, UCA committed, high 80s, really good breaking ball. Yeah, definitely competition is high where we're at. We got a lot of good teams in our conference. We got Greenbrier, we got Mountain Home, Van Buren. Yeah.
In Northwest Arkansas, all the competition's really challenging, and everybody we play has at least 1 or 2 D1 commits. Nobody's really stacked. Everybody's really balanced, and whoever plays their best game will win every game. So in Northwest Arkansas, it's really up for grabs, whoever wants it.
Okay, so let's go ahead. Let's look at the entirety of this 2023 season. So high school ball here in the spring, when you go ahead and play for the Sticks for this upcoming summer, you know, what are some of your guys' goals? You know, personal goals, some team goals, looking at both spring and summer. What are those goals kind of looking like?
So finally starting back this year, I was just coming into the year ready to win. Getting to show what I can do. Right now, as a starter, I'm 4-1, and going to the high school ball or going to the summer ball, I just want to continue and carry on the momentum that we've got going. So I'm just ready to go into summer ball and, you know, win.
Yeah, definitely. Some of my personal goals for the spring season, the high school season, make 5A all conference, all state for sure. Because I think that's very doable for me, if I'm being honest. And for the summer, just getting looks by colleges, any college, just getting looks, getting better every day.
This summer, all I really look forward to is working hard and getting ready for more baseball to come. Really working on my swing, keeping simple and playing baseball just until I can't.
All right, so again, let's look at the entirety of, high school ball and summer ball. What is like the team roster shaping up to be for your guys' high school teams and for that Styx roster that you guys are going to be playing for this upcoming summer? Besides yourselves, who are some other guys to be on the lookout for this upcoming 2023 season?
On our high school team, we've got Jacob Yao, six player. He was on the podcast a couple weeks ago, I think. We've got Knox Pilgreen. He's a pretty good player. He's our third baseman. Yeah, like I said, we're a pretty young team. We don't have a, we've got some talent, but it's just now starting to show.
Yeah, like Worth said, we have some guys that have the potential and all the talent in the world. They just haven't made a name for themselves yet, like big names. Our shortstop, Gabriel Ellison, he's a guy that comes to mind. He's probably one of my best buddies. He's a really good hitter, really good defensive shortstop, big player out there. And Cade Palmer, he was on a podcast a couple weeks ago. He's phenomenal. He's a catcher, so he's got to be my best friend. He's catching me tomorrow, so.
At Fayetteville, our whole lineup is stacked 1 through 9, really all hitters. But our bullpen is really what's deep. We have a starting pitcher named Easton Fraser. You probably heard is Austin PA commit. We have another starter who's really good, Kate Costello. He's committed, but I can't remember where. Our batting lineup 1 through 5 is like all big names. Landon Schaefer, our shortstop, another Arkansas commit. That's all I got.
All right. So Peyton, you mentioned there, Cade Palmer, catcher. You got to be your best friend. You guys got to have that trust. So Peyton and Worth, I know you guys are both pitchers. Jason, on the Perfect Game website, it says you're a right-handed pitcher as well. Is that what do you pitch in high school as well?
Yes, sir.
Okay, cool. So this question is going to be for all three of you guys. And Peyton, you do catch too, right? Just wanted to check. So with all of you guys, being pitchers, Peyton, you being a catcher as well, how do you guys kind of go about, building that relationship with that battery mate that you guys have? Peyton, you can answer that in two separate ways there. Let's go ahead and flip that order around to starting with Peyton, then to Jason and to Worth as well.
Okay, so from the pitching side of things, you got to be able to trust that dude behind the plate 100% that he's going to block everything. He's going to call the right pitches. If you want an 0-2 curveball in the dirt, you got to trust that he's going to block it and he's going to square it up and he's going to make a good solid throw to first base. And from the catcher side of things, being the support staff, I mean, that's probably one of my favorite things about being a catcher is being that pitcher support guy. Gets his head down, gets 3-0. Hey, you're still in this. Let's go. Come on, fight back, all the way back. That's probably one of my best things. That's probably one of my favorite things as a catcher is being the guy's support staff.
Being a pitcher and having a bond with the catcher is probably one of my biggest things. So during practice, during the week, I try to make sure that I'm nice to all my catchers because I know they do all the work and they get behind a 90 mile an hour fastball every pitch for no, they don't have to do that. And I respect them for that. So the pitcher and catcher bond is, I think it's the most special part of the game, and I respect that. Just relationship between the pitcher and catcher.
Yeah, as a pitcher, we've got to love our catchers. Like Jason said, they're not back there because they're forced to. They're back there because they want to. So they're taking balls off the chest, taking them in the dirt, doing everything to make us look good and make themselves look good. You know, as a pitcher during the week, you know, with our catchers, we're game planning and we're figuring out what works best against the lineup that we'll be facing this week. So we know that we have to throw a lot of curveballs that start middle in, high in, and finish, you know, in the dirt. Then we just have to get our catchers ready to be able to make plays like that. And, you know, they trust us, we trust them. It's a great bond in the game.
So on that pitching side of things, let's go ahead. Let's dig into your guys' pitching repertoire. Kind of go through, you know, what different pitches you guys are throwing, maybe a couple pitches you're maybe wanting to add here in the near future, what that kind of looks like. Just take us through that repertoire.
Yeah, so I have a four-seam fastball, curveball. It's actually a knuckle curve, changeup, and a slider. I've been working on a sinker a little bit, still trying to get that done. But, yeah, those are my main four right now.
I throw a fastball, a slider, a curveball, and a changeup. My slider is more of a cutter, but I just call it a slider because it sounds cooler.
I throw a two-seam fastball, a slider, a changeup, and a 12-6 curve. And whenever we're working like low and away, middle of the way on righties, I'll throw a four-seam fastball so it doesn't run back in over the plate.
All right, so Peyton, I got two separate questions here for you, Jason, and Worth, one question for you. Peyton, you do mention that you're trying to add a sinker. When you are trying to add a new pitch, you know, how do you kind of go about that? I know some pitches are a little different, so take us through that. And even beyond that, for all three of you guys, take us through arm care. What does that kind of look like throughout the offseason? You know, maybe if you guys are deloading in the fall, ramping up in the spring, and what that kind of looks like in between outings. Just kind of take us through that here a little bit.
Yeah, so since I'm starting to develop a sinker, I just try to throw that, like, when I'm warming up, pitching, doing throwing programs. I might throw it in between innings or even in practice when we just toss. I'm just trying to get the movement right, trying to get the grip right, trying to get it consistent.
What was the question?
Digging into arm care. So, like, deload, ramp up, and then, like, in between outings.
In between outings each week, I'll pitch a Monday and then I'll go Tuesday through Thursday with close to no throwing. I'll try to not throw on Tuesday. And then Friday through Sunday, I do a lot of work with like heavy ball, plyo on the wall to get it back into that motion. And then Sunday at our practice, we'll have throwing and I'll just go out and throw and get loose and then be ready for that Monday.
You know, like Jason said, the first couple of days right after pitching, you know, little to no throwing ball just because of how sore you are and you don't want to damage the arm any. And then the next couple of days, throughout all this, there's a lot of stretching going on, you know, like the bands and plyo balls. And I do some on the shoulder tube too because, I don't know, it's just – something I personally like to do. And then going into the pitch, adding a new pitch, that, like you were talking about. As for me, a changeup is my hardest pitch to locate. So, like, when I'm warming up before games and in practice and stuff, I'll sit there and I'll just play catch with it, just working on my control and my movement and everything and just trying to get it to where I want it.
Okay. So on the hitting side of things, I know Jason and Peyton, you guys are hitting. Worth, are you hitting as well?
No, sir.
Okay. So this is going to be a couple questions for just Jason and Peyton. Go ahead. Take us through that hitting approach, starting with Jason, going to Peyton. Just take us through, you know, what's going through your mind when you're on deck. You know, you're walking up to that batter's box. You know, what's going through your mind? What are you trying to do with each at bat? You know, kind of take us through that hitting approach.
While I'm on deck, my main goal right there is to really get timed up on the pitcher. I'll take the first pitch to swing out, get loose, get ready to hit, and then I'll actually start watching the pitcher and what he's doing with his curveball, fastball, any pitch. When I step into the box, I'm looking to go right over second base for a double every time. So I'll try to sit back and wait for something I can hit over second or I'll jump on the first pitch fastball if it's there.
Yeah, for me, it starts honestly. For me, it starts on the hole. I'm trying to get my mind right, trying to get the mindset right. And for when I get on deck, like Jason said, I'm watching that pitch. I'm watching what he's doing with his curveball, his fastball, his changeup, or whatever off speed he's throwing that day. When I get in the box, I'm looking dead red fastball first pitch, and if I don't get it, I'm taking it. But if it's there, hard single up the middle every single time. Just trying to hit the ball somewhere hard.
Okay. So on the mechanic side of things, kind of take us through, you know, from your load up to your follow through, what do those mechanics kind of look like and how have you guys developed those mechanics over time?
This summer, I looked into Mookie Betts' swing a lot. I like the way he loads and how smooth his swing is. So I worked on my load and getting my front foot down faster. So I'll be ready for any pitch really. So just changing my whole like mindset in the box, kind of. It's been different, but I've enjoyed it. I feel better in the box.
Yeah, this past summer I started doing a nose stride, and then when it got closer to the season, probably December-ish, I really started looking at Dylan Cruz's swing. That's a swing I really like. Dylan Cruz has such a good swing. He's really, it's just really compact and it's sweet. And I try to mimic his swing, trying to get the nose stride down and getting that front foot down early so I can be ready for what pitch he's throwing.
So looking at your guys' game's entirety, so this can be for Jason and Peyton when you guys are on the mound and in the batter's box, Worth for when you're on the mound, maybe interacting with some teammates. If you guys were scouts watching your game, what would be that personal scouting report that you would write up on yourself?
I would probably write down that if I strike out, I don't like to slam things, but I'm very mad and I can control it. I'm not a hothead really anymore. I would say when I'm pitching, I'm locked in. If there's like people heckling in the stands, I don't really hear it. I just laugh, smile, go about my day, pitch, and finish my outing.
Yeah, I'm kind of the opposite of Jason when it comes to hitting. You know, I feel like that's one of the things that I do best, in my opinion. So if something doesn't go my way, it's gotten better over time. But if something doesn't go my way, I just channel myself and I go in the dugout. Maybe I don't know, throw something, say something to myself, and then I just go about my day. Don't let that affect me too much because then you'll just have a bad rest of the game. And for me on the mound, I think honestly that's probably where I don't really think about stuff too much because I don't really expect myself to do a whole lot on the mound, if I'm being honest. So I feel like for me, that's just go up there, have fun, do what you know how to do. If someone's heckling, just like Jason said, smile about it, laugh about it, strike the dude out. There you go.
I'd have to say well composed. You know, as a pitcher, you have to have a real short-term memory. You can't think about things too much. So, like, if I'm pitching and I don't locate a pitch well, or, you know, I give up a hit that I wasn't really looking forward to giving up, or they score more than what we were expecting, you know, we don't want a domino effect to start. So you have to just go pitch by pitch, batter by batter, not letting one bad thing carry over to another. If you have a bad inning, just go out there and have a good one the next inning.
Okay. So as we talk about, you know, what you guys are within your guys' game, let's talk about what you guys aren't. So let's talk about development. As you guys go through these next couple of years before you guys get to, you know, your senior year or get to that next level, what are some of those key things you guys are wanting to do, or I guess just key things you guys are wanting to put an emphasis on within your development on both sides of the ball? Just kind of take us through your development.
Wait, am I up?
Yeah. So we'll just go with that same order for now.
Okay. Throughout high school, I hope to really change when I'm hitting, seeing pitches. I have trouble now. I can't really tell really what's coming, but I can tell off speed. I can't really like see spin on ball, and I'm trying to work more on seeing the spin of the ball when I'm in the box. It's just...
Yeah, like Jason said, I think seeing the ball, seeing the spin on the ball. And another thing for me is hitting the other way for power, like true power, hitting the other way for power. I can get some backside hits, backside singles, doubles. It's just really looking for that opposite field power.
I have to say, you know, over the next 2 to 2.5 years, just more velo, gain that more velocity so I can just be more dominant on the mound. So when we do face these guys that are big D1 commits or guys like that who you know we're going to try and hit for power and try and hit home runs, you have to be up there knowing that you can get them out and not having to work away or work backwards in the counts and just going up there and being able to get them out, strike them out.
Okay. So let's last baseball question here for you guys, and we'll dig into my rapid fire when I dig into the personal side of things. Let's talk about that collegiate level, going to that next level. Jason, kind of go through briefly what that recruiting process kind of looked like, maybe some key things you were looking for, you know, what landed Arkansas on top. And for Peyton and Worth, kind of take us through, you know, what your mindset is heading into these next 2 years when it comes to, you know, college recruiting, talking to different coaches, and it potentially going to that next level. Just take us through that mindset as well.
14 new summer at the PBR Junior Future Games, I think. I pitched in front of or against, I think it was Nevada, and a lot of people were watching the game. And as a 14-year-old, I hit 89, and everybody was watching, and people were coming to the field. So all the coaches started coming, and I looked and saw the Arkansas coach standing there with the clipboard. I thought that was cool. And then after the game, they called and offered me that day, and I sat with the offer for about a year. And then last year, this last summer, right before we started school, I knew I wanted to go to Arkansas. There was nobody else in my mind, and I was locked in from then on.
Yeah, most definitely. I'm just trying to get somewhere where I can play, just anywhere, honestly. I'm just looking for next 2 to 4 years of baseball, trying to get my game to where I think it needs to be, and just trying to find a college that fits right for me.
Well, you know, the goal is to go somewhere and play. If the opportunity presents itself, then that's great, and I'll more than happily take that. If it doesn't, that's okay. I can live with myself, but you know, the goal is just to go somewhere and play and have a good time throughout my college life and hopefully just keep taking it to the next level, no matter what it is.
All right, guys, so I got three last questions here for you. Let's go ahead. Let's flip this order around one last time and keep with it for the final three questions. Let's start with Worth, go to Peyton, go to Jason. First question here, passions. Beyond the game of baseball, what are some of those things you guys just enjoy doing? You know, maybe take your mind off of some things, maybe cope with some stress, whatever it happens to be. What are some of those passions you guys have beyond the game of baseball?
For me, I'd have to say traveling. I love traveling. I love seeing new places, being in new areas I've never been before, spending time with my family in these areas, getting to learn new things about the world and just getting to create new experiences everywhere.
Yeah, for me, it's hunting and fishing. That's a big part of my life. And golfing. I love golfing. I'm not very good at it, but I love golfing.
I would probably say traveling, because besides baseball, when I go on trips, I'm playing baseball. So all I do is really travel. So
for the guys that said traveling, what's your guys' favorite place you guys have been to so far? And for Peyton, what's that big time, I guess, dream thing that you want to hunt down there in Arkansas? I'm not sure if it's the same thing as like what it'd be here in the Midwest in Indiana, but is it not?
Everything's bigger in Arkansas.
Okay. Now everything's bigger in Texas.
Just animals. Just animals is what I'm saying.
All right, Worth, what's your favorite place to travel?
So I've been to, I think it was 2019, we took a trip over to Rome and Croatia. So way, way over there. I think it was a 14-hour flight. So did a lot of sleeping there. You know, we got to see the Colosseum, the Trevi Fountain, and just a bunch of those places. We took like a week-long cruise while we were over in Croatia just to see all the little islands. And just we saw where Marco Polo was born, actually. And then I have to say that's probably my favorite trip I've been on.
Peyton, what's your favorite hunting story?
Probably okay, so it was this hunting season. Shot a buck, 8 point, probably really, really close shot. It was probably about 150 yards. Runs across my field, and there's a pond, and I see it go down. I'm like, all right, bet. So the deer's just down there, right? I see the water start rippling. I'm like, please tell me this deer did not just go into the pond. I had to, let's just say it was freezing cold, had to get in the pond, drag the deer out. Yeah, it was not fun.
Okay, Jason, what's it? So I'm sure your favorite travel story might not be the same as worst going to all those different countries over there, but where's your favorite place you've been traveling?
2 years in a row, I've went to Arizona, and the was I think Glendale is where I was at. Arizona's beautiful, like 24/7. The sky is looks like a painting. The desert being around with all the cactuses, it's just crazy. Being there was crazy compared to Arkansas, having grass and trees, seeing dirt and cactuses. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, I was in Arizona a couple of weeks ago. My boss took me out there for some spring training games, and I was like just driving around. I don't know. Has Worth and Payne, have you guys been to Arizona?
I have.
Yeah.
So it's, I think it's just so cool as you're driving around that just big old highway where you'll just see mountains just get closer and closer and just realize how big they are. That was probably my favorite thing in Arizona, beyond baseball. But digging into motivations here, let's stick with the same order. Like I said, when it comes to just deep down internally, what are some of those things that just help you guys get out of bed every morning, help you guys continuously evolve as ball players and as people? Just what are some of those motivations you guys have?
I'd personally say just the motivation to want to get better at everything, always wanting to get stronger, for everything I do in life, whether it's football, baseball, anything. Always wanting to get stronger, smarter. So when I'm in the classroom, keeping a 4.0 GPA, everything, just wanting to get better at every aspect that I will encounter in my everyday life.
Kind of two things I live by is faith and family. Faith is my number one priority. I'm working hard every day for him, man upstairs, and my family. I mean, it's family. You can't really go wrong with family. They're probably my biggest support system. I have a bad game. This doesn't go my way. This doesn't go that way. Dad's there, mom's there, everyone's there, and it's a great feeling.
I would definitely say my biggest support and motivation would be my family. All of my family has treated me like I definitely shouldn't have been treated. All my life, they've done everything for me, made me the happiest kid ever, made me a baseball player. I love them for that. And one of my motivations is to make it for all of my family and give back to all of them.
Okay, so taking that question just a little bit further here, perfect picture of your guys' lives 20 years from now. So you guys will be what, like 35, 36, 37. Everything keeps going right for you guys. What does that perfect picture of your guys' lives look like 20 years down the road?
I'd say to have a successful career, whether it's sports or, whatever. Be happily married, have a couple kids, live pr preferably somewhere out in the country, have a lot of land. Not really a big farm guy, but just a lot of land, a lot of open space to do whatever we want, and really big house, That'd probably be it.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely for me, 20 years from now, having a wife, having a couple kids, living somewhere out in the country. You know, I'm kind of opposite of Worth. I'm a country dude. I like getting my hands dirty. I like doing all that stuff, like the farm stuff.
20 years from now, I hope to see myself with a beautiful family, beautiful wife, live in a huge house with a lot of cars, huge pool, probably in Arizona because I'm probably their biggest fan, the whole state. Yeah, just happy family, good, healthy relationships. Probably my mom live across the street in a house hopefully I bought for her.
Okay. What's that go-to car for you?
Probably the Jeep truck, a Jeep truck with some sort of engine in it.
The Gladiators,
they're crazy.
Yeah. I like those Gladiators and those Broncos that just came out a couple years. The new Broncos. Oof. Even though I'm a Chevy guy, Chevy GMC. That's my brand. But I'll drive a Bronco. I'll drive a Gladiator any day. But last question here for you guys. Same question. I'd like to end off with everybody. Dream NIL brand. So when you guys, you know, get to college, get to that next level, have that opportunity to capitalize on your name, image, and likeness, to partner, endorse, or collaborate with any brand, what would be that dream NIL brand for you guys?
Definitely Nike. You know, I love Nike. I grew up wearing Nike. I still wear Nike. I love, you know, their designs. I love the marketing that they do, everything about Nike. Just, yeah, I'd have to say Nike.
Yeah, definitely, definitely Nike for sure. But if it wasn't Nike, then honestly, probably New Balance. New Balance has got some really comfortable shoes. They got the new New Balance cleats. I know you guys have seen those. Those are awesome. And just marketing they do, I think their stuff is really nice. It's really comfortable.
For shoes and clothes, I would probably have to say Nike. It's Nike. Can't really beat it. Baseball, batting gloves. I use a brand. It's called Spiders. It's a big brand out of Wisconsin. And I look forward to that.
Okay. Do you, by any chance, this might be a long stretch, do you know the guy at Spiders? Or do you just buy their product?
I know the guy. I don't remember his name right now, but I know the guy. I went and met what is his name? I can't remember it.
Okay. Well, if there's any chance, you know, when this podcast comes to an end, you can somehow maybe connect me with the guy at Spiders, let me know. Because I'm in about 2 weeks, I'm doing a full baseball business series where I've got batting glove companies, grip companies, gloves,
the real deal.
I've heard some great stuff about Spiders. So if you can somehow maybe make that work, just let me know. But no, guys, that was the final question here on the Why Put In A Rose podcast. You know, super appreciative of all three of you guys here coming on the show. I know you guys are right in the middle of your guys' spring season, so it's a busy time right now. But thanks for coming on the show. You know, best of luck as you guys continue on, you know, through this spring, through this summer, and just the rest of your guys' careers. Best of luck with that. And like I said, thanks for coming on the Why Playing Wells podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.